are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. My name is T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster. How's everybody doing?
Especially the ladies. Happy Women's Month. We actually haven't even mentioned it the whole month. All bad. But yeah, this is Women's Month.
It is.
Yeah, you didn't know?
No, I do know. I do know. How can one not know?
It's, I feel like that's low-key shade. Like, are we stuffing it in your face like it's Women's Month?
Don't women stuff everything in your face? But no, seriously though, I want to take this time to appreciate all the women out there and just to let you know that we really do appreciate you, and it's a huge honor to be able to celebrate this month with you. So yeah, happy Women's Month.
None of us would be here, literally.
But without men. But without women, for
okay,
real.
Okay, yeah, fine. Both parties are involved. We have a guest today. Two guests, in fact. So the first guest goes by the name Sokostina. Tell us a bit about yourself. What do you do? What are you about?
Okay, so my morgue name, when I die, okay, it'll be Tendai Garu. That's what I call my tag.
Your morgue name.
Yeah.
So on your tombstone, a different name?
Tombstone might be Tendai Wenyasha Garu, because Wenyasha is my covenant name with God.
Uh-huh.
Story then, for another day.
And then 2%.
2%, I bought it from Kuda and Tabua. Well, shout out to him, wherever he is, Tabua. It's about some milk carton. Okay, that story is long. Yeah, it's a long story. But it's 2%. It's such a private joke. But I'm also mother to Tinai Mbiwa Tawanda Mombeshora. 14. He's now Australian Zimbabwean. He stays with his dad now, and I miss him so much. I'm an African feminist. Unapologetic. But however, I do treat people like people. I only get mad when it's necessary, mm-hmm, about women's rights and women's issues. I'm an actress, a radio presenter, TV producer, creative director, an author. I'm an author, actually. I recently co-wrote a book that is selling heavy on Amazon.
Oh, what's the book?
It's about breaking boundaries, and my chapter is called The Greatness Within.
Nice.
So I'm intending to expand that book, that chapter, into its own book.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so, and I'm also now writing a book called A Letter to My 20s.
Nice.
My 20s are very intense.
I like the title.
But we put that on hold to write a letter to our mother, because our mother passed away, but it's now 20 days ago. So my brother, my sister, and I are writing a book called A Letter to Our Mom. So A Letter to Our Mother. So yeah, the author life, I am really working on it. So yeah, so I'm a lot of things to a lot of people. I'm a lover also. And
you wear a lot of hats.
I wear a lot of hats.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wear them perfectly. Each time I wear a hat, I make sure that it's well taken care of.
I like that. And I also just want to take this time to say my condolences.
Thank you.
For the passing of your mom.
Thank you, Kada.
Okay, so, Mumbai, thank you for joining us as well. We just want to know who you are, what you do, and why our producer thought you were good for this particular episode.
I have no idea. my name is Mumbai. I am a banker. I work at Stewart Bank. I studied psychology,
mm-hmm,
and I am interested in how women are viewed in the society and their roles. Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't say I'm a feminist. I used to be. I'm not anymore.
Okay. And today, mm-hmm, smiling like, by the end of today, I'm gonna dealt with you.
Not even.
Okay. Cool.
So Sokostina.
Yes. You do know it means monkey with swag, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, okay. You
just Tanya didn't know. Look at her face. Radio. She's like, monkey.
No, the soccer part of your season.
The Stina is
but
swag.
The Stina
is swag. It's just for swag purposes. Yeah.
So, my name's Justina.
Justina is Jess with swag. You know what I mean?
No, it's cool. So, I want us to just dive straight into it.
Let's right,
because
go.
Our discussion today is centered around the whole issue of feminism,
mm-hmm.
right? Feminism is a big thing in the world right now, and there are many women that are feminists. There are many young women that are becoming feminists. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a big deal.
It is,
right? And today we want to talk a bit about it from. I guess from, we'll talk about feminism as a whole, but also just address it from a Christian standpoint, right?
Okay.
So maybe we can start off by you explaining to us, right? Especially, you know,
how about we start with what feminism is not?
Okay.
I think, because...
Okay.
Because you guys were asking me before, am I a feminist? And I was like, I don't know, like, I really never put much thought into it. And this is shocking to some of you. Like,
no, what? You know what? Labels are scary.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Labels are very scary. So you probably are, but don't own the label. And it's okay to not own the label.
Mm.
But it's okay to be who you are without owning the label.
Yeah.
Because you do know, we are now getting to what's called the free world, Sarah, Sarah. You know, people don't want to be called female anymore or male. They just, I'm a human being, you know what I mean? So
right.
It's okay for you to not want to own that you're a feminist. It's okay. And the good thing, when you're saying, let's ask what you're not, what is not a feminist, it's harder to answer that as it is hard to answer what is a feminist.
Yeah.
Because people have put a blanket on feminism.
The mental picture I have of feminists is, women don't want to wear bras and...
Really? Have you seen my jug? I gotta wear bras.
I don't know where I got it from, but you know, you just pick up things along the way and then they just become ingrained.
No, because that's the original... Those are called radical feminists.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that burn bras. That hardcore. We
and
don't need men to survive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But that's why I'm saying it's because people don't even dare read around feminism. It's such a... They're over 21. Over 21 type
right.
of feminists.
Whoa.
Who, yes, I see the shock on your face. We're not all the same. Some will be concerned about environment.
Mm-hmm.
Those women who strip themselves around a tree
and be
like, oh, Mother Earth, and those are they're called environmental feminists.
Right.
So you're all busy thinking, feminist, oh my God, she's going to burn her bra. Guys, I can't move around without a bra, though. Just saying. And then I'm a feminist who has decided that men and women are equal and that equal opportunity should be given. No one should be paid better than the other.
Right.
Everybody should have access to resources, access to everything. The way I dress shouldn't be determined by anything. But however, feminism is a system that is fighting a system, and the system is called patriarchy. Now, patriarchy is something that pushes male supremacy. So regardless of what happens, the men always have to look supreme in whatever decision that is happening within the world. That's why the whole world is patriarchal. Very few countries have got a matriarchy where women are bosses, you know, or they're the ones that marry many women to make men, like where women actually control things. But mostly the whole world is very patriarchal.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's making something, it's masculine made and then feminine designed. So that's how the world is. And feminists in their different angles, you know, are saying that system needs to dissolve. There's need to be fairness of access and all that. Then there's some feminists who are just, you know, we're done with men. We don't even need men. We shouldn't even procreate. We are done. We should have sex by ourselves. And this is how life should be. So everyone has this hat that all feminists are angry, mad. They don't want to be married or... No.
Uh-huh.
There are lots.
It's almost like a dirty word, like, ooh, no, she's feminist.
Exactly.
Well, for guys anyway. Like,
well,
don't want to mess with no feminist.
It's taken me a while to kind of understand, because I remember initially it was like, okay, what's going on here, right? Like, I guess because some of the ladies that I knew who were calling themselves feminists were quite aggressive.
Okay.
Right? Aggressive and very, like, just like, you know, screw men type attitude. But I guess the more, especially when I went to the States, is when I then really began to understand that, okay. I got more understanding. I was enlightened a bit more, right?
But the enlightenment came from reading. Because if you're not reading, then you're not understanding anything. Because patriarchy is controlled by four pillars. And the pillars that the feminists are fighting are those, which is the state, the actual state, the family, culture, and of course religion.
Right.
So those are the four gatekeepers of patriarchy. Those gates will control and support male supremacy, regardless of what is happening. That's why there are all these women who are like religious feminists, there are people who are policy feminists. So you could bump into one feminist and say, oh, there's a woman who's beaten there, why aren't you doing something? You could have bumped into a political feminist. They'll be like, oh, okay, let me call Soko. She's the one who likes, you know, she's the feminist that pushes a specific agenda. So sometimes, you know, when something happens, like in the country, I remember people are like, oh, why are you ignoring Joyce Mujuru? Why are the feminists quiet? Because that wasn't my category. Sit down. I got other things. When that thing pops up, you see me all over like body lotion. But if that doesn't happen, I ain't going to be there. I'll be like, hey, call the other feminists. Let's go. Let's go. So if you know these four pillars of patriarchy, then you begin to...
The state, religion,
the family. Mm-hmm. The state, religion, family, and culture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Culture is a big one.
So, okay. So, maybe let's talk about the religion side of it, right? That particular aspect. Because I think, well, partly because our podcast is a Christian podcast somewhat. I really do want us to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned that one of the pillars of patriarchy is the
religion
aspect. So please just elaborate that for us.
Okay, so feminism fights a system, like I said, woven and protected by four pillars. The religion is one of the strongest pillars because a lot of people fall back to religion. And religion, regardless of its African traditional religion, Muslim, Buddhism, whatever, Christianity being one of them, people fall back into, but the Bible says, you know. A lot of it comes from, but the Bible says. Now, if we were to, and I say this to Koda, I hope your faith is strong. My faith is strong. Because I'm going to destroy some perspectives that you have been moving around with. The Bible was written by men for men.
Right.
Women and children were not counted. Mm. I can prove it. The miracle of the 5,000. Mm-hmm. That was 5,000 men.
Right.
Women and children were not counted, which means there could have been 15,000 people at that particular gathering. Yeah. But your people decided to count the men only. And the Bible only mentions women when it needs to control their behavior. Nothing to do with promotion, leadership, equality of distribution. Only once when the daughters of that name is so hard, when their father when their father died, and then the child had to plead so many times for the father's inheritance until the inheritance was given to them. But that's the Old Testament. That was like so weird for it to happen, and people were gobsmacked, flabbergasted, bamboozled because a girl had stood up to talk, because we are absent. Mm-hmm. We're tokened in the Bible. So the Bible is only written for men, by men. So I don't know how women praise a God that doesn't address them in the Bible.
Well, I'm going to challenge that very statement that the Bible was written for men, by men. Now, granted, the Bible has a very male dominated, the Bible is
called patriarchy.
Male-dominated.
It's very patriarchal.
However,
which woman wrote the Bible, firstly? Like, it has a chapter in the Bible. Who actually wrote it?
None.
there were books named after women, yeah, but written by men.
Yeah.
So written by men for men.
But not for men.
Okay, so you're on by men is correct, right?
Yeah.
Okay, defend your for men part.
Okay, what I'm trying to get at is this. Is when we look at the Bible, right, we have to look at it from multiple angles.
Mm.
One is that we have to look at the historical authenticity of the Bible.
Okay.
Right? Which is that, yes, the text in the Bible was written predominantly by men. And if we get deep into it, some of the people who are said to have written it didn't really write it per se, right? But anyway, let's
not get too deep into that. But the Holy Spirit inspired it.
The point I'm trying to bring home is that, yes, the Bible was predominantly written by men.
Not predominantly, it was written by men.
However,
mm,
the Bible, remember, is a book that was written within a particular culture, mm-hmm, cultural system.
Mm-hmm.
But that is pointing to something that is beyond that cultural system.
But which has now centered a whole belief system for the world. And it went out and preached to everybody. And it got to this end of the earth,
mm-hmm,
with this particular culture. Which means we should put the book away because it's not within our culture. Then why are we Christians? Because this is not how we used to worship God. But it got here.
Okay, so this is what I'm challenging. But anyway, let's carry on, because I don't want us to dwell on this for too long, because this can be a whole podcast by itself. You know what I mean?
That's where feminism comes from.
What I'm disagreeing with, mm, is when you say that the Bible was written for men,
mm-hmm,
right?
It was written for men, though. I can prove it. I have. That's why I asked for it when I got here.
Okay.
There's nothing in the Bible that is addressing women for edification, growth. Even when we try and defend it in the beginning, Genesis 1:26, I think, when it says in the beginning God created men and women, woman and man God created at the same time. That's where the equality, where we start from saying the equality of men and women began.
Uh-huh.
Our spirits were created at the same time. There was none. The manifestation on earth, men came first, women came second. That's debatable because it's men that wrote the Bible. But our spirits were created the same time. God decided men, women, now create. You should, uh-huh, read that. But the manifestation in the flesh is that's when the roles that she's talking about started, of our creator, suitable helper. And now I just hear men in their own interpretation.
Okay, let me just stop you for a second, because I wanna bring in our other guest, right?
Sure.
So, as you can see,
mm-hmm,
this is what we're discussing right now.
Yeah.
I wanna hear what you believe about the Bible, with regards to the whole issue of feminism, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no denying that the Old Testament really kind of pushes women aside. They're always in the background most of the time. But I think with the coming of Christ, we see him trying to restore that equality. Paul was saying, remember, there's no difference. All women and men are equal. There's no difference between the genders. So I think there was a shift from how women were traditionally treated when Christ came. Yeah, but there's no denying that women generally were always
disregarded.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I found my verse.
All right. Please, go ahead.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 says, "Then God said, let us make men in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Them.
Uh-huh.
"Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping creature, things here on earth." So God created men in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all created with the same instruction, have dominion over everything.
Yes.
Together,
mm-hmm,
at the same time. The manifestation then comes thereafter, which is where the problem began.
Let's hear it.
So And then God blessed them, and God said to them, uh-huh, be fruitful and multiply, and be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. He repeats exactly what he said. And God said, behold, I've given you the plant yielding. Okay, these are all the blessings God gives us. Uh-huh. And then in chapter 2, verse 4, the creation of men and woman. So male and female were created at the same time. Mm-hmm. Man and woman is, that's when there is the manifestation difference of the, when then God made the men go to sleep, and you know, that's where the whole, it's a long chapter, but yeah, you should read for yourself. The flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that?
What I'm saying is the distortion came when the manifestation of men and women then happened, because it made it seem like the man was dominating by himself. He could do everything. He could hunt fish. But we all had the same ability.
Right.
We all had exactly the same ability. It only then came when whoever wrote the Bible decided, no, there's a, you know, that's when the whole, oh, the rib of my rib, flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood. It sounds like, okay, sounds like a rap
DMX
song. But you get, so, and then, you know, but I then also justify that, and I'm so sorry that I'm so passionate about this, that men make it seem like you find us. That is also where the distortion comes in. Mm. Men do not find women to marry. We find you. It's okay. In the Bible. Okay. Because you were fast asleep. I was awake walking about. Mm. And I came and I stood over you. And I saw you.
Uh-huh.
Then you woke up and like, whoa, man. Right? That's how I got named. But we find you. You don't find a good thing and find favor from the Lord. Because the Lord found favor already and made me, right? If we want to go the biblical way of, oh no, fine, let's take the men and women. But men don't find women. Women actually find men. We're the ones who, biblically, go back to your Genesis. We were right there, standing over you while you were sleeping, snoring, not knowing what's happening. We could have killed you while you were sleeping. We waited. There you go. We waited for you to wake up, and then when you wake up, you saw me, and you're like, oh, he who finds a wife finds a girl. Shut up. You didn't find anything. I was right there.
Okay.
Wowzer.
Wait, I need to just leave.
Drink water.
Maybe. I'm good. Bimbai.
Yeah.
So earlier, mm-hmm, you, because I know this conversation can go one way very quickly.
Yeah. Right?
So I also want you to be chiming in. But you mentioned that you used to be a feminist.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are no longer a feminist.
Yeah, I'm a womanist now.
Okay. So please just explain.
Just explain. Wait
that.
For it. It gets fun.
Just explain that. Okay. What I want to know is number one, why you changed.
Yeah.
And then I also want you to then explain to us what the difference is between a feminist and a womanist.
Okay. All right. I think feminism is confusing me right now. There are a lot of ideologies to feminism. Mm-hmm. The radical feminists, the liberal feminists. You never know. Like, there are women who say, okay, we still can accommodate men. And then there's the other group that's saying, no, we have to do away with men. We don't even want to have children in our wombs anymore. So it got confusing. And I think also some of the feminists are really just bitter women who are single. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, right. So bitter women who
which is so sad. Like, which is, and for a banker, it's so sad you didn't even read about it. Like,
it's
feminism.
True.
No, you didn't read about feminism because you grouped them into two. I just schooled them. There are over 21 feminists.
No, I didn't group them into
there
two.
There is the ones that are radical and the ones that are liberal. Those are two, just
no,
two.
No, I know quite a number of them.
How
but
many?
But as I was saying, I don't know them offhand, all of them.
Tell me the ones that you know.
It all got confusing. I just
you never read around it. You just double.
I do sometimes, but
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
So that's cool. So what is a womanist?
Okay. A womanist is a breakaway group from feminism.
Uh-huh.
because they take cultural context in.
They take us?
Yeah.
MGC 99.
The takeaway, right? You guys are
they
crazy,
take
right?
cultural context in into consideration, because it kind of bothered me that there were still feminists out there who still discriminated against race. So
against what?
Race.
They're racial feminists?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean people who choose their continent and their struggle?
Yeah.
Like, I'm an African
mm-hmm.
feminist.
Mm-hmm.
How's that racist?
Because if you're going to be pushing your agenda and sidelining other people's context, it doesn't... And then you still want them to be feeding off your movement.
Who?
I did hear, though, that...
Yeah, because there's a misunderstanding of contextualizing feminism.
Well, listen, I guess just like any...
It's like any other ism.
There's going to be... There's going to be discrimination and whatever, and some people are going to prefer others over others. So you're saying that...
Feminist is inclusive.
So
of all the types of feminism.
But it involves culture. So whose culture? Because you're going to pick the culture you know. You can't be womanist for every culture. So how are you different from a feminist who's African who's picked their context? Because you are picking your context of culture.
We're acknowledging, okay, we have different cultures. So it doesn't have to be the same causes for everyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So...
I guess. So I'm sure that they will be understanding the Bible. If the Bible is their culture, then...
Okay.
That would support
it. I want us to bring this
whole, together.
This thing back to the to the Bible, right?
Mm.
So, and I would like both of you to be commenting here about. So, what are we saying here, ladies? Are we saying that the Bible is irrelevant?
She can take that because I know what I'm saying.
No, we're not saying the Bible is irrelevant at all. I just think there's a problem, though, in that somehow God was made to be masculine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's crazy.
Why is there Father God instead of Mother God type?
Yeah,
thing?
And it's crazy if we think that God's attributes can be compared to any other being.
Because men can't multitask and God multitasks.
Exactly.
God has got to be female. There's no way God is male.
Okay.
No.
So that's... Okay. The Bible actually doesn't portray God as male.
It does.
But there's
a lot of he.
Father. Yes. Yeah.
He, Father. And he, Father, is... God is male.
He's also called the mini-breasted one. And
that's later.
Actually.
Yes, that's
but
why
somehow people don't even pay attention to that. It's just he, God.
No, okay, why I'm asking all these questions, guys?
Why?
That we need to be when we look at the Bible, there are many objections,
mm-hmm.
right, to the Bible, right? But the thing that I want us to look at is the Bible is a book that was written, right, by
mm-hmm.
people,
mm-hmm.
right? However, we always have to remember that the Bible is greater than the people who wrote the book.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Greater in the sense that the message that the Bible is carrying, right? There are many aspects to it, but the one important aspect is the story aspect of the Bible.
And what's the story?
The story aspect of the Bible is God. It's God introducing himself to humanity.
Well done. So what happened in the book of Esther, where submission started? What happened there? Where was God when that was happening?
So... What I'm trying to explain here is this. We need to be able to separate man from God, right? Because God introduces himself in the Bible through the stories of the Bible. Like if you look at the story of the children of Israel, for example, right?
Mm.
That whole narrative is God introducing his characteristics and his attributes so that we can see them.
To men, not to women.
To people.
No,
humanity.
No. If you're going to use a book as your reference of worship and religion, then don't throw it away when it suits you. Because this is the be-all. You all say that word is the two-edged sword, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So don't throw it away today because it is a book. It is the source of your belief.
Yes.
Everything that you've believed as a Christian comes from the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Now that it's being questioned, then don't separate God from the Bible. Because
I have been in thousands, okay, maybe not thousands, multiple discussions where the Bible is questioned. I don't run away from the Bible getting questioned.
Because that's how I'm getting you saying. Because we've asked fundamental questions here about when you talk about the children of Israel, it doesn't talk about men and women of Israel. Mm. It talks about men.
Mm. Yes.
There is no women included.
Yes.
So which means God is introducing himself to men.
No.
Sure.
It actually talks about the children of Israel.
The children, which are men counted. You know when they do the statistics.
They counted just the men.
When they put them into the 12 tribes, they didn't count the women into tribes. They counted men into tribes. Let's not get that twisted. I'm not saying God is not real. Listen, God is so real, but
wait,
God has got to be female.
Wait.
No.
My God is, I worship a female God.
I don't care what sex God is.
I don't know. I'm just listening to you guys. I'm like, what the hell?
People think of God and they're like, okay, I'm thinking
so
of God.
So, guys, right.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. The Bible is introducing a context. Okay. Now, why God chose the Jews, we don't know. Why God
did he really choose the Jews? And that's a subject for another day. Like, let's stick to the feminist issue here. Because if you want to go the Jews direction, we're going to get lost. Because I've got a story for that.
Did God not choose the Jews?
No, says who? The Jews said it. They beat us to writing that. You black people don't even write the Bible. Did you know that in Genesis, the second wife of Abraham was black? That's why Miriam... you took it there, so we can take it there.
But please don't be sharing your opinions, guy.
No, it's not an opinion. It's proven.
That you read on Wikipedia.
No, I didn't read this on Wikipedia. It's there in the Bible. And I even remember Dr. Mensa Otterbill did a whole seminar on it at one conference. The second wife of Abraham, read about it, had curled hair, rough curled hair. That's why Miriam, remember the whole Miriam story?
Yes.
And you know the Midianites? The Midianites, the ones who taught people how to worship God.
Uh-huh.
We have dark skinned from Ethiopia. Where is Ethiopia? It's Africa.
So,
and these
no,
are
no.
these were children, direct descendants of Abraham. So you want to talk about God chose the Jews?
Did God choose the Jews?
I can't speak for God.
Okay, so because we need to have a starting
you
point.
You brought
here,
it,
right?
Though.
No.
Okay. Let's
go back to feminism.
You're the one who's getting lost. We're like in our lane, though.
So, okay.
DJ Wagner.
Okay, just bring it back.
Bring it.
No,
I'm
why I think this is important is because I think this actually feeds into our discussion,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is this, that if we're going to talk about God being patriarchal, right?
God.
Because this is probably, is this where you're getting at? That
God is portrayed. I never said God is patriarchal.
Mm-hmm.
God is portrayed patriarchal.
Uh-huh.
And whoever started writing the book that you're separating God from right now is the one who started this whole patriarchal agenda. That's where I'm at. I didn't say God is patriarchal. And remember, I didn't say God. I said religion doesn't put my supreme God into the situation.
I'm glad that
what I'm saying is, it's if you're talking about Christianity and feminism, the reason why feminists will question Christianity is because you made God masculine, which is what she said. Mm-hmm. And you portrayed everything patriarchal.
The problem is not with God, it's
with the people that brought God into context.
But how do you get to know God? Listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is this. What I'm saying is, if you're going to question whether or not God is masculine, Anditi, my question is this, that how do you get your idea of God in the first place?
Why do you want to give me an idea?
I'm not giving
God.
You an idea. But I'm a Christian, right?
Mm. And your idea of God is what?
I believe in the Bible, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I also know for a fact that the Bible, as a book that was written by men who were inspired, by God.
Ooh, inspiration.
Inspired.
Let me look for, because inspiration is different. But I got an inspiration story. Continue.
Right.
Opening the Bible, your Bible.
Because if you're gonna challenge the Bible, what I'm trying to get at is this: you need to be able to challenge the history of the Bible.
Clear. That's what we're challenging.
Uh-huh. The history of the Bible. Uh-huh. The text. The textual authenticity of the Bible.
Exactly.
It's important.
Yes.
So, when we look at Christianity, religion in general, I think, has a large focus on male gods, if I can call it that. Especially if you look at the Abrahamic faith, Anditi, Islam, Christianity, and others.
Yes.
What I want is for people who listen to this podcast to have an idea: can I be a feminist and a Christian at the same time?
You can be a feminist and a Christian at the same time, if you want to believe what the Bible presents to you. And then you pick a type of the 21 plus that you want to push.
You can be a feminist.
You can be an environmental feminist that presented that to you. Push for people not cutting down trees.
I think I hate litter. Maybe I should actually.
Yeah, if you should
can
be a liberal.
Womanist and a Christian.
If you want to be a womanist and a Christian, go ahead. Yeah. They push for the womb and everything that comes out of the womb and how it should be nurtured and grown. So you can be a one. All I'm saying is don't use religion to control and to control people when they then decide, I don't want to conform to this way of thinking.
Uh-huh.
So if, like I said, if it's the state, the reason why there's all these women can do it campaigns, which I've also been in because I'm a feminist, is because the Bible will come back and says men will lead.
Uh-huh.
That's biblical, right?
Yeah.
So the state also falls. Because our state is Christian-based, it falls back, which means women, people will be like, we don't want to be led by women because the Bible says. That's why we then come back and question the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Culturally also, which has been distorted by patriarchy, says that women cannot sit in a family court, and yet everything comes from the sacredness of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you should bring Chilla to your show. African traditional religion and Christianity. The woman's sacredness. That's why everything, God, if the God that we worship
mm-hmm.
presents anything fertile, anything good, anything amazing, she, the earth, the child, the everything that is of multiplication and sacredness
uh-huh.
is feminine. But that has been lost by culture. And has been. So that's why I'm saying it's you can be both. You can be a Christian. I've been a Christian for the longest time. I uh-huh. still go and worship God. I still have my own conversation that when a man lets me down, God, you cannot be man, because all the men in my life let me down. I prefer you, woman, and I'll worship you in spirit and in truth. So you can be who you want to pursue, but don't be blindly pursuing. Because what if you get to heaven and it's not what you were pursuing that is? And you've been hypnotized the whole time.
Can I pose a question?
Yes.
So, are you saying that the Bible does not accommodate women?
Where?
Huh?
Where? If you point to me where they are accommodated, then...
I think where the heart of God is shown is where Jesus comes. And did you? In a culture that is very anti-women, right? If you see the amount of times that Jesus is acknowledging women, the very ministry of Jesus was surrounded by women.
It's because the person who was now writing in the New Testament knew how important women were and was trying to rewrite history, but there was so much.
But are we denying that? But I'm speaking of the heart of God.
I don't know about the heart of God when Jesus came, because then if you... The problem with a lot of Christians is you then begin want to separate the Old and the New Testament to suit a particular issue.
No, but
when the Old, you're a student of history.
Yes.
History is history and it fits into the present.
Yeah.
So don't separate that. Separate that the writers of the New Testament were more accommodating to women and trying to right the wrong. Do not cast the first stone.
No, but that's what that's how you're interpreting it. You can't take
exactly. You interpreted the Bible the way you interpret. Kuda, when you need to be woke, because I'm speaking about being
woke.
No, you're not woken because I've walked the path. Don't forget, you're talking to a person who's walked exactly. You've known me for how
yes.
long?
And that's why I can talk to you like this.
Yes, I have walked this path. Bible talking, demon casting, this Christian, you know me. Uh-huh. People used to call me Deaconess Tendeva Nongatsono Murima because I have the gift of prophecy, which I think is abused, which is another, because I have been in that power and space. But what I want you to understand, Kuda, is this. Jesus came.
Uh-huh.
And everywhere he was going to say, don't persecute a prostitute.
Yes.
Because they are prostitute.
Uh-huh.
What do you do today?
Uh-huh.
What do you do today? You persecute a prostitute.
Well, that's what you're
if they're exactly opposite of what Jesus is saying.
So, but that's can you point.
Exactly? We are at the
so
same
we're saying
point.
The same thing.
Yes, but you're not listening to me because you're in your own blinkers. What I'm saying is the one who was now writing, inspired in the New Testament, was more awoke that women were there. The one who wrote the Old Testament, that's what I'm saying, that the Bible was written by men for men. But the one who wrote the New Testament was not necessarily redeemed women completely, because we are still siloed. So there are things that make sense and things that don't make sense.
Uh-huh.
For me, what doesn't make sense is how women were ignored for over a century. Then they reappear.
Uh-huh.
And or they just appear just when something needs to be controlled about them. That's when I just don't agree with it. So the reason why I say, for me, the Bible is there as a guiding principle book,
uh-huh.
yes, but doesn't mean it's the alpha and the omega of how things should be done.
Okay.
Things can be questioned and should be changed.
Do you think there's anything that then plays that role, that has that role of being the alpha and the omega, right? So what I'm asking is this, that if you're saying that the Bible is, there are some bits that are okay and some other things that are a bit distorted, is there anything out there that actually exists that is absolute in the way that it addresses these issues? Or do we then pick and choose from the things that we feel like?
The problem is we always want to look for an absolute, an either or, and yet the God we worship is not an either or God.
Uh-huh.
That's my answer.
Okay, that's cool. Tina, you want to say anything?
I want to go back to what
Yes, you can be a feminist and Christian.
Okay, cool. So what is the difference between feminism and women empowerment?
There's no difference. What feminists are trying to do is empower women. Just we are like November 18th. We just take the guns and go into the streets and close them down and say, we are just, you're safe, but we're targeting the enemies around you. That's exactly what we are doing.
Uh-huh.
So feminism, if you now can walk into the bank and get money. That just didn't happen. Feminists went to war about that. You now can walk into the birth certificate place and get a birth certificate without a man. Those are feminists. The one I actually campaign for is for women to actually go and get passports for their children without getting an affidavit from a man or anything.
Mm.
You now can do that. We went to war for that.
Mm.
You now can dress the way you want to dress. We went to war for that. So the empowerment, like I said, is access to fair and equal treatment. The point is, it has to be given as a choice. What feminists want is for you to have a choice. The liberality of something has to be there. If you then choose, I don't want to wear a short skirt,
mm-hmm.
that's great. But the option to wear it should be there.
Okay.
So that's what we... That's part of what we are trying to do. We're also trying right now, the ministers, our own ministers, female ministers are paid less than male ministers. We're fighting against that.
Mm.
The Constitution says in the presidium there should be one female. Where is she? We are fighting against that. So in as much as people are like, what are feminists doing? Empowerment is that. But you just won't see it. You just wake up and like, oh, I can now get land in my name. You think that just happened.
Mm.
In 1980, you couldn't vote. There were feminists that did that for you to be able to vote. Now they all want your vote. So the empowerment is there. But it's just that we are so misunderstood that...
So can a man call himself a feminist?
No.
Why not, if he wants to be for women empowerment?
Okay. Men are not called feminists, though. They have their own...
Meninists.
No. Because feminist comes from feminine, unless they are actually feminine. Like, if they're gay and they decide, but or
no,
transgender.
Like if they also want to go to war with you. And
yeah, they have a name. It's just went. They have a name. Okay. It's not called feminist. They are accommodated and they are welcome.
Metrosexual?
No, it's not. Metrosexual is like Kuda. Kuda is metrosexual.
Whoa.
He's like, he takes care of his nails and his hair. And metrosexual is a person who's really aware of their appearance. I'll let you know when I get the name.
They're
woke to their appearance. They're not shy to own being fine. So it's not that. But that's what women empowerment is all about. So it's that women were not allowed to walk after 9. Now you can. Mm-hmm. And wherever you want to go. So that's... feminism and empowerment, you can't separate them.
Okay.
They're like together.
And then I just have one more question, because I'm trying to dispel all my myths about feminists. Y'all can use this podcast for your biblical myths. I'm gonna
use it for your personal.
Gender roles when it comes to feminism.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you guys don't believe in anything like gender roles.
We do. Gender roles, only when they then discriminate towards monetary gain.
Okay.
We then go to war about it. My son, I have a son. He can cook, clean, wash his clothes. I think roles should be taught to humans to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Because whether you marry or not marry, you still need to cook, clean, wash.
Uh-huh.
So they shouldn't be like, the girls should wash and clean. Mm-hmm. The boys should know. The girls should go kumunda. What if nothing happens? Learn how to... these are basic survival skills. They shouldn't be genderized.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should just learn to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
I can do everything. You know, if my person is not there, I'll change my tire. But if I have to make them feel masculine, I will be so vulnerable. I'm like, baby, I got a flat tire. But I can't change my own tire. My father would kill me if I couldn't change my own tire. So gender roles are there because patriarchy allowed them to be there. But I have no issues with gender roles. I cook and serve my person. I wash their hands. I ask them if they want something to drink. I do that because... you know, if someone deserves to be treated like a king, they should be. The same way they would treat me like a queen.
Mm-hmm.
If I had sore feet, they put them up and rub them. So it's a give and take. When it becomes to relationship, it's a give and take. It's an understanding.
Okay. So I think for you, it's more that you want to have the choice not to. Like, if I don't want to.
That's exactly what I said. You need to have the choice. Okay. The choice has to be availed to you. You choose whether or not to do it. I'm not, if my partner forces me to say cook, I am not going to cook. That's just me. Don't force me. Why am I cooking? You cook.
Yeah.
Why not? But I choose to cook for them. Besides, I'm a great cook. Just like, my food is amazing. I love to cook and I love to serve. I'm just, one of my love languages is acts of service. So I love to serve and do little crazy things for my person. So a human being is not in silos. You also make decisions by many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And love language also makes you do that. You decide.
I think that there's certain things that, because feminism, is based on being feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Do we not lend ourselves more to certain tasks?
Like, we have no choice to breastfeed because we have the breasts.
And the guy, no matter how much he wants to, cannot have a child.
Unless technology allows us. Now it can happen, by the way. But that's not gender roles. That's just natural.
Technology.
It's things. But changing a nappy cannot be a gender role. Kuda can also change the nappy.
Do you think the role of the man as the provider, the one being out to go, whatever, provide for his family, versus the woman doing it, do you think that is a religion thing or that's more of a cultural thing?
That is just more of opportunity. The reason why men came to the city is because they needed manual labor, right? Men are stronger. Carrying things, unless you lift weights. But, and in the world that is Zimbabwe, in the 2013 election, between the 2008 and 2013 election, the gender roles swapped. Women, not the gender roles, the financial roles swapped. Women made more money than men because of cross-border trading. There were no jobs. The economy was absolutely terrible. So women had money more than men. And that is also the era where gender-based violence went up because men felt emasculated that women were earning more, making more money than they were, so they didn't have power. So money brings power. It brings decision-making power. But like I said, it only works when in a partnership, you don't throw it in the face of your partner that I earn more money. You actually ask, how do you make decisions together like this and like that and like this? So it's not that men always have to be the breadwinner. Because guess what? Women could actually make more money if they thought about it than men, because we've got multiple streams of income. We just don't go to work. We go to work, we sell these, we do that. If he puts his money there and mine, I actually earn more. But so it's a conscious thing that you have to realize that money does not define respect over. Mm-hmm. Respect is not asked or demanded. It's you earn it.
Okay, I have a question.
Sure.
Balance me here. So, in a family setting, being a feminist, if your husband is not the head, is that what you're saying?
What do you mean is not the head? What are they heading? It's a partnership. Marriage is two people who are in partnership, who are supposed to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's my belief. We'll come together to start a family.
Yeah.
So we make decisions together.
All right. So in a scenario that you need to make a decision and the both of you are not agreeing, who then has the right to say, I'm doing what I want to do, or we're doing what I have decided?
There's
to
no
do.
Cut and stern. Okay. Because that relationship, if it is in mine, I'm not married right now, but my partner and I, we don't agree in a lot of things. What we do is we keep quiet. And readdress, we go to sleep and wake up and represent yourself. The problem is we have made marriage and life very blanket. This is how, that's why when we go to kitchen parties, we are told, their people are different. There are three men here, totally different.
Yeah.
So if you go into marriage thinking, if we don't agree, you're already speaking disagreement into your family. So the energy of disagreement is coming.
But disagreements happen.
Yes, but what energy do you speak into that disagreement? So that's why I'm saying it's holistic. A human is not cast in stone. You're not what everybody says. How do you then handle this? My partner and I, we could be having all these conversations, but when we do get an agreement, we have our way of doing things that the two of you, who are two different human beings, have your own way. So you should stop looking for this. How do you handle it? Because in my space, we don't handle it the way you handle it.
Okay, so I think we've basically touched on some very interesting things, but just having more light shed on what feminism is really all about. Because I think for the longest time, a lot of us have believed that, you know, feminism is just
angry, bitter, single women.
There we go.
Who want to look like men.
Who want to look like men, right? But I think what you've said presents a different perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that that's necessary. And
we should
and
read,
important.
Please. Can we be whitish and read?
I read. I mean,
yes, I did put that out there. Black people don't even want to read.
I've read, what's her name? I've actually got the book. Ngozi Chimamanda.
Everyone should be a feminist.
Yeah. So I've actually got that book and I've read it. And yeah, it's interesting.
And she presents a few type of feminists actually in that book.
Nice.
All right.
she's beaten up.
No, I'm kidding. Seriously though, I know we've had a lot of arguments and debates today, which is important because that's what Radiant Culture is about. Tendai, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wembai, thank you. And
thank you.
I think in closing, I will say, like we always say, that the truth is something we have to search for, and God must be pursued. We don't want to prescribe solutions or answers because, you know, your relationship with God is unique. So you should seek out the answers, seek God for yourself, seek Him in His Word, and learn who He is for yourself. So those would be my closing words.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're good. Peace.
G, peace.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.